Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is God's word for us as people. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, don't worry, I'm not preaching. Robinson will be up here in a second, okay? We are continuing with our series on game changers, where we're looking at those a few of the promises that God makes that are such incredible promises that they can literally change the game. They change our lives. And you might recall last week we talked about the promise of direction, how God would make straight our paths. But to make a path straight is not the same as making a path easy, okay? God might direct our paths, but that path might be through some hard and difficult times. And so the next promise that he makes is that he will give us the strength to walk whatever that path is that is before us. We just heard Susie read, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. How many times have you felt weary? How many times have you felt weak? How many times have you only been able to go on because of the strength God has given you? That is his promise fulfilled. And he says in that same passage, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And so when we don't give up on God, we know God never gives up on us. So God renews our strength when we put our hope in him. I love this passage. It is such a comforting and such an encouraging and such a hopeful passage. It's one that I think we often turn to when we're going through hard times. But as I read that passage in my own 2020 United States of America life, I can't help but think the original hearers of Isaiah would have heard it a little bit differently than I do. You see, Isaiah had been telling the Israelites that they are not living the way God wants them to live, and they are about to be overcome by the Babylonians. They're about to go back into captivity. They're about to be slaves again. Their whole life is about to be turned upside down and not in a good way. But then he brings these words as well, these words of hope, that God will give strength, that captivity, that pain, that suffering will not last forever. God will get them through it, and he'll give them all that they need. This morning, I'm not going to talk to you about suffering as I know it, or strength, or hope, or anything else, because we have a blessed friend here visiting us from Haiti who understands this and many other passages in ways that, quite frankly, I think we do not. He hears them and understands them more like I've heard them and understood them based on where he lives and how he lives. Haiti is a hard place. It's been rocked by an earthquake and then a hurricane. There's corruption and crime and extreme poverty. It is difficult beyond anything I think we know in the United States. I think even on our worst days, and don't get me wrong, I am not diminishing the pain and the hardship that we have as well, but this is a different level than what we are used to seeing. And Robinson is going to share some of his own personal testimony, what life is like in Haiti, and how God is the source of hope, and God is the source of strength. But there is simply no way to get through that on your own human power. It is only by the grace of God and the strength that he offers that people can make it on a daily basis down there. Robinson has been instrumental working with us in the last couple of years. You remember we did the By George program not long ago where we gave $1 a week all year long. And we raised throughout our district about $30,000 that went down to Grace Children's Hospital. Robinson helped receive that money and allocate that money to the places that needed it most. That's what his job has been down there, coordinating humanitarian kind of efforts like that. He also leads several choirs, several church choirs down there. Is it seven, I think? Seven church choirs. So, you know, guys, I mean, it's hard to do one band, right? He's got seven choirs that he leads on top of the other things he does. He's got theological training. He's been trained in law and economics. He speaks four languages. He has five children. I need strength just thinking about his resume, okay? I do. And God has given him the strength that he needs. And he's going to share with us some of what it's like to live in Haiti, some of what the scriptures are saying to us, and how we can continue to partner with him and do our part in helping our brothers and sisters down in Haiti. So I'm done talking now. I'm going to invite Robinson to come up. Would you please give Robinson a warm welcome here this morning?
Good morning. I've been thinking for the week about talking to you. It is my first time talking to a court of, blanc, meaning blanc. I used to do that in front of 10, 15 people when I'm at Grace. Talking to you was a little bit stressing me, but I say, God, give me the courage to do that so that I don't run from the altar. But I'm glad to be with you. I love your country. I was, longing to see snow. When I come out from the airport, the first thing I asked was, Sudan, please take a picture of me with the snow coming on my, falling on my head. And I praise God for you, because and the people are loving. And your leaders, they are amazing people. I've been blessed since I met them. I feel the presence of the Lord in this church and this place. Can you please welcome the Holy Spirit with a clap of your hands? Hallelujah. Yeah. While listening to the worship band, I feel like singing. I just, return myself to not go to the keyboard and sing something. And Port-au-Prince, God has blessed us with several ministry. In order of the church, I have a choir of 300 people, all ages together. In the Church of God, where we are, they have like 5,000 members. We have a choir of 250 people, and they are very blessed, but it's mostly gospel. I praise God for what he's doing in my life in Haiti. And even though the spiritual welfare is intense, we have a population of 11 million people, but 60% of them are Christians. They pray God, they worship God, and the means of trouble and the means of problem, they believe in God. And I praise God because our spiritual wealth is huge in spite of our struggle. Just, I'm happy to be with you today. Before even I start talking to you, it's not a formal sermon. I want to share more testimonies with you. And I've been praying also. I'm not too overwhelmed by emotion. This morning I've been fighting to keep my tears. But at the end, I a lot of tears come in my eyes. I pray that God will help me while talking to you. Do you mind that we do a short prayer before we start? Lord, I thank you so much for your presence at this place. Thank you because you are the God of all nations. We see your glory all over we go. And in this place, I see your power. I see your glory. I see the beauty of your love. Thank you so much for our friends here. We want to share with them our struggle, how great you are, how good you are, in spite of our challenges, how you change things for good, how you bring joy in the middle of sorrow. Thank you again for bringing me here. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to meet Pastor Mike, Pastor Meek, Pastor Dana, Pastor Dan, and all the other members, staff that works here in this church for your glory. And I pray you this morning to put down your grace, your love on the hearts here. And use us, Lord, as you always do it. Amen. Pastor, I would like to do something which is, I know that you're very formal. I'm sorry to ask that. Would like to sing a song that is in my heart. Usually when Pena offered me, God give me the gift of worship, and if I sing something, I get the strength to do it, if you don't mind. I don't know if the keyboard player, what's her name? She plays so well. Would you please give me a piano with a layer I would like to play and sing before I start talking to you? That's a problem? while of my voice, hopefully you don't want when listen to me. When I snow a lot too, that really kill my voice. And the people who receive me, I pray them to sleep in a room that is far from my home, because when I sleep, it's really a plane, when you hear a plane. So that really, tear down my voice. So let me sing it for to bless my heart, and then we'll talk. Just 5 minutes, please. Yeah.
You're good.
It's a piano with a layer. I could have a piano.
Just sit there. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
the
layer.
You can put more layer.
Down. Layers.
Yeah.
Okay, I will.
Oh, let me say layer, like string behind. Sorry, guys. Ballad piano. Let's say hallelujah. Usually when I'm at church and Brother Brent, if the piano or keyboard is doing something, I just say, people say, Beni soit l'Eternel. Beni soit l'Eternel, we say, blessed be the God. Let's say, Beni soit l'Eternel. Yeah.
Okay, here, we should have one. See.
If I have something? Okay, just give me the piano. You do, yeah, more piano.
Okay. So. It may be more than 5 minutes. Piano instrument.
Okay.
See if that.
Okay.
You wanted something.
It's good.
Under it there.
Yeah.
Have a
okay, that's good.
Is that better?
Okay. Hallelujah. Very good. The song I was singing, it called when it says that, when it's dark in the night, God is my hope. When I lost direction, God is my direction. He's the one who holds my life in his hand. And that's why I'm not scared of life. Viens obscurcir ma route. Mon Dieu en qui je crois est mon ferme soutien. Si l'orage en mon cœur éveille quelques doutes, il me tient dans sa main, je ne crains rien. C'est dans sa main que Dieu me tient, il m'aime. Il me soutient pour moi jour après jour. Il a son plan d'amour. Dieu me tient dans sa main. Je ne crains rien. Non, je ne connais pas mon avenir d'avance, mais je m'attends à Dieu. Il ne veut que mon bien. Je sais que je peux mettre en lui ma confiance. Il me tient dans sa main. Je ne crains rien. C'est dans sa main que Dieu me tient. Il m'aime, il me protège, il me soutient. Pour moi, jour après jour, il a son plan d'amour. De sa main, je ne crains rien. C'est dans sa main que Dieu me tient. Il m'aime, il me protège, il me soutient. Pour moi, jour après jour, il a son plan d'amour. Dieu me tient dans sa main, je ne crains rien. Dieu me tient dans sa main, je ne crains rien. He hold me in his hand. I fear nothing. Bless you. Thank you. Before I start, I would like to give a special thanks to, again, the leaders of the church and you guys for doing the fundraising to, recently to support the effort, our effort at Grace Children's Hospital. Grace Children's Hospital has a story of 50 years taking care of children with different type of disease and Port-au-Prince, mostly with TB, HIV. And our effort that touched many lives, thousands of people has been saved in Port-au-Prince. And I can tell you, if it wasn't with support of church like you, people like you who contribute to that, many people would have died, many in this past years with TB and other kind of pathology. Grace Children's Hospital is really active in providing cares for people in communities. Many after the earthquake, Grace Children's Hospital has provided cares for over 100,000 people who live in Tent City. We have done hygiene education, provide pre- and postnatal cares. We also help people with STDs. I'm in church. I don't know if it's formal to say that you give things on to help people with to prevent STDs in the community, because HIV and other type of STDs are really prevalent in the community in Haiti. So our work has touched many lives. And I could tell you guys, it's worth the effort you've done. After the earthquake, 80% of the hospital has been damaged. And then we had to host the hospital, and many of the inpatients were in transitional facility, temporary shelter. But thinking 10 years after the earthquake, these things was built like for 2-4 years. And they were like, really need the renovation. The money you sent helped us, as you can see on the slide. We do the floor. We build some space for the children when they stay in the hospital to play, etc. And a vehicle that I drive, many of which when I was a missionary, and this vehicle was broken like for 1 year. And it was a miracle when the money came. Part of this money was used to fix this vehicle. And I personally thank you, because it's the vehicle I drove for the hospital. And then also some of this money goes to medicines and employees, the mamas that work with the children in the hospital to provide cares for them. And especially, I would like to give thanks to the leaders of your church, and especially you guys who accept to contribute to this. Our staff, on behalf of our staff, the Asian people, we thank you so much. Healthcare is, like, providing healthcare to people is challenging in Haiti. We have lack of infrastructure. People do not have money. That's why many people die. They will prefer stay home, take natural medicines. And then when things get worse, people will die. And to explain you, when you contribute in the healthcare, for healthcare, it is a big thing. In the past, we have used to be supported by USAID and some of big international and used to receive money from them. And then in terms of, you know, international cooperation, government has to put some percentage of money to encourage the international community like USAID to contribute. And the worst thing that happened, our government has prioritized like politics things and has diminished the budget for healthcare in Haiti. And we have seen a diminution in the help that used to come to help people with diabetes, with HIV, with TB, with blood pressure that is very common. Blood pressure killed many people in their 40s and their 50s in Haiti because there was a lot of stress. Blood pressure is really, really. Then this money is to come in to help providing cares for people. And then that is very challenging. Besides that, add to that, we had a lot of difficulties with infrastructure, health infrastructure in Haiti. In the middle of all that, I would like to share with you guys testimony of my own wife who passed because of lack of infrastructure. It was a beautiful week that started, and then, you know, I had to go to work, and my wife told me, honey, I don't feel well, and she has some fever, and said, okay, let me call your mom so that she could stay with you with the kids to help, and then mom was happy to do that, and then she stayed with my wife. And the next day, my wife felt better. She does everything in the house. She spent 2 days like this, and then 4 days, she got the fever. She started having some pain in her bun, and then I've decided to bring her to hospital. And then the same day I bring her to hospital, the doctor tell me, probably your wife is suffering with anemia, some other kind of things. You know, I'm not a medical. My concern is that my wife get better. And what happened, they stabilized her, she was hospitalized, and then she say, honey, you know, today I would like you to buy me some grapes. She loves it. And I say, honey, it's been a long time. It's been a while since you don't ask me that, because she used to do that when we were dating. 21 years together. We were dating for 6 years and then married for 15 years. And we, as Pastor tell you, we had 5 kids together. So we are really in love. And during the night, the house will be, you know, really warm. We only wait for the children. She was a special person. And then what happened, when I come back, she was very sad. And I say, honey, what's going on? I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to sleep in the hospital. And her mom was there too. I say, mom, you can go and go to take care of the kids, and I'll stay with my wife. And then at this point, I have a lot of fatigue. Because I felt really tired. I had a lot going on during the day. And then she said, go to sleep like for 1 hour and come back to me. This day I shouldn't obey her because I always follow what she says. She was the boss of the house. And then, okay, I'll do that. And I spent 1 hour sleeping. Somebody wake me up. And I went back to the hospital to find her lying on the bed, die. And I talked to the doctor. I say, what's going on? I scream in the hospital, what's going on? What's happened? And the doctor tell me, your wife passed because we didn't have oxygen available. She needed oxygen right away, and our hospital didn't have oxygen. that at this time, if my wife probably was in a country like United States, Canada, and France, she would have been there. She left behind my last boy, is 1 year old, and I have to take the whole responsibility. She was the administrator of the house, but right now I have to fight outside to get the money, and in the meantime, take care of the kids. And if it wasn't for her mom, who was with the kids, I don't know what I'd do. Right now I'm with you, but they stay with the grandma. We talk every night, but God find a way to watch over them. But I should tell you, I'm born in a country where I fight every day for food, for security, for health care, for education. Sometimes you go to school without food, you go back to without food, but you have to study. You do it. And then sometimes you go to school, you don't have the fees for the semester, you go to the manager and say, please accept me for 1 week, for 2 weeks. This is it in my country. But we continue the fight. When you provide some money to Great Children's Hospital or to any healthcare, as to Haiti, and I don't say that we are the worst country in the world. Guys, you save life. Sometimes this might be very little, but when you put them together, it makes a difference. Again, I thank you for what you did for Great Children's Hospital, and I encourage you to continue to do that. Let me talk to you about the real challenges that we face in Haiti. In reality, I'm from a beautiful country. We were the first black nation that took its freedom. And we give this example to different nations. And we have helped many of the Latin country to take their freedom. We even help your country too, and the fight for freedom. And we were a really proud country. And at that time, Haiti was the first country that produced more sugar, more coffee, and different other projects in the world. And after we got our independence, we had to pay France. We were under an embargo because the big nation didn't want to accept our freedom, and we had to pay it with money, billions of dollars. And ever since, our economy crashed, and we never could stand anymore. Besides that, we've been facing a lot of political turmoil, bad leadership, fight against leadership, mismanagement. We're conduct to the situation we have now. Add to that, in this past years, you remember, most of you have heard about the earthquake that hit Haiti. An average of 500,000 people in Port-au-Prince in a glance of second, in a glance of time. And some family were completely destroyed. You lost cousins, brothers, sisters. And I lost my supervisor. He died in his house with his wife and one of his kids. After that, we faced cholera. People, while they live under tents, had to face cholera. Thousands of people died with cholera. We faced hurricanes. Many people died. Port-au-Prince has disappeared. If you go to Port-au-Prince, it's just a shade of town right now, because a country that was built for 10,000 people become a big, big slum of 3 million people right now. And then people, even in spite of the resilience, now they start, you have a real chaos. The social explosion is too much. Young people who go to school now, they become gangster. In my area is ruled by a group of gang. And the guy that is in chief of the gang group, he studied like sociology. And he tells the people he doesn't have a way to live. It's the only way that he can live. Sometimes they kill people, they block the street to force the government to send the money so that they will lose the street. And I could tell you, insecurity is really, really big. Last year, I've been attacked by gangsters twice. I was with a group of missionaries. They were going to visit a project in a place called Kwadebuke when we were stopped by two gangsters with weapons. It's the first time I see that. I used to see gun on TV, but this gun, I see that they are bigger. I don't know, it's like, you know, when you're scared too much. And then when that happened, we were with six other people in the car, and then they take camera, they take computer, they take telephones, they take money. And it was hard. And the next day, one of the group members, she say, I'm not staying in this place. She just took the plane and go back. But the four others, they stay. But when we go to the U.S. Embassy, they tell us that in this area, at the same time, eight American people were killed because they refused to give to the gangster what they want. And then God saved us. The next time I've been like, you know, going through a way that called La Saline. La Saline is a big marketplace where many people come to do informal markets. They come to sell food, anything that they have. But during this period, gangster take over the place, and I didn't know. And I was kind of trying to run, find a road that I could run fast. And then I have been stopped by a group of 25 young teenagers, people from 15 to 25 years old. They have gun. And then they have us get out of the car, and they take everything that we have. Again, laptop, camera, tools that I use to work for ICC, and everything. And what happened when one of them look at me, because they were, you know, pointing guns on us, one of them look at me and say, hey, these people, they are very good people. Let them go. We don't have to shut them. God intervened in a mighty way and get me out of the situation. And then we go. This is how it is in terms of every day. Because each time you go to work, demonstration, the street is blocked, all the burning cars, they throw works on you, and then it's hard. My kids couldn't go to school from October to now. Until January, school where we open, and people try to go to school. It's not about on the school, people who go to college, you have to stay home. People who used to do the small business, they have to stay home. Politics is very bad, and it's difficult not only gangs are fighting in the political realm. There's a lot of fights. And then we can't put ourselves together to save people. So poverty has been raised and uneducation has been raised. We have a third person of the population who cannot go to school. Some of them start and stop in the middle of the world. We have at least 80% of the population who suffer. And then the level of hunger that has, like people are hungry, that has in the country, is at the level 4, which is very, very bad. If it wasn't for the diaspora, people who have brothers and sisters in the state who help them, support them, we will have many people who die without food because they are hungry. And one of my choir, I have heard that a young girl, she passed. And what happened, when I asked what she was she sick? Because she was really happy. And then one of the leaders tell me that she's someone who was facing like hunger. She didn't eat enough. She will come to the WIRSO on Saturday, maybe eat something in the morning, the Saturday, spend the Sunday, spend the Monday, spend the Tuesday without food, and we'll eat on Wednesday, and then wait for maybe Sunday to eat something. But in Haiti, when people are facing that, they won't let you know. They will, you know, wash your clothes. You know, make sure that people don't see how they go through. And I've been embarrassed because I say I'm a maestro. How come I don't see that? And now when the choir blessed me with some money before I leave, I check on everybody. I will be very, you know, required. When you come in the choir, you have to sing. I didn't pay attention to that until I understand that most of people who can't sing is because they are hungry. Or because they can pay their school. When you start asking questions, or because they don't have a place to live, or they live with a friend and the friend keeps them out of the house. This is the picture. I could have told you more, because there's a lot going on. I will spend the whole day telling you a lot about what we go through in Haiti. But what I wish that you understand is not only God is your game changer, but honestly, when I see your life here, God, guys, your game is already changed because God has provided so much for you. Some people in my country will wish that they live one day of their life. I'm not trying to minimize what you're going through. It will not be wise. But honestly, you are a blessed nation. God has blessed you with so many things. Somebody can please say, praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. I've visited my brother, and I know that your country have your own struggle, but you can find food, but you still have a place to live. But you can go to work without expecting some guy to, you know, shot you on the street. Every morning when I wake up, and this is my preferred verse, I say, the Lord is my light and my salvation, when shall I fear? When people point a gun on me, I know that they can't shot me, because God says that I will lose one hair in my head if he doesn't give the permission for that. For sure, when I go to the street, you will pass by there from the street. People will get shot on their motorcycles, on their car. Recently, a friend who worked for the Ministry of Justice, he told me, Robinson, they are kind of the hardcore of the Haitian police. She told me, Robinson, I'm going to like give up. I'm going to quit. I say, why? He said, most of us get shot because the police get corrupt. And they are undercover police. And then most of the work. And then it's terrible because these people, they were the shadow that really watch on the street. And then they give up right now. Honestly, we need prayers in Haiti more than ever before. And I keep serving my country. I tell to myself, if my wife passed in a hospital, I should make sure that more people are saved. That's why I keep doing advocacy for my country. I keep telling to myself that if people are dying in the street, if we are church, our church in Haiti is 60%, 62%, why don't I motivate the churches, the people in the church, to start praying, to start involving the politics so that we choose good leaders? Because the Bible says that when we have a good leaders at the head of the nation, people are happy, people are happy. I still telling to myself that I should raise my kids in a way that they become hero of themselves. For sure, me, I face hunger, I face insecurity, I face needs, and mostly I still thinking of my wife. Today I was a meeting with pastor with a group, talking about my wife only, remember me, so much good souvenir about her, I can't stop crying. When I'm in the house is empty, I think of her. When I need some food, some good Asian food, some rice and beans and peas, some goat, fried goat, really, I think of her. And I don't have to go through the rest of the details, you understand that. I go through so much thing, but I tell them that they need to be tough because the challenge in Haiti are real. But you can make a difference by praying. You can make a difference by continuing to do what you do to support Residence Hospital. Anything that you do, make a difference. I've known that in the midst of all my, when I find myself overwhelmed with stress, and that's when we need to replace our fear with faith. The more time we spend meditating on God and remembering his goodness, the less we worry. David said that in the valley of death, when I walk in the valley, through the valley, I shall feel nothing. Now I've learned that to praise God in the valley, to have peace in the valley, to have joy in the valley, and to be strong in the valley, and to hope that there will be a bright day that is coming. And as it says in the Hebrew, if the bright day doesn't come tomorrow, if I don't get a chance to see it, if even my kids doesn't get the chance to see it, I know that God is preparing a place for me in heaven. I can't wait to see my wife. But I continue to fight. I like to see how God is changing the game. I tell God, you know, you take my wife, I praise you. I'm in the middle of insecurity, I praise you. In the middle of my challenge, I praise you. But I'm watching you. I'm watching how you change the game. How you reproduce what you did with David, with Solomon, with Joseph. How are you doing that in my life? And he does it. I've been asking for a visa for more than 25 years, Pastor. I didn't tell you. 6 months after my wife passed, they give me the visa at the U.S. Embassy with a lot of excuse. They say, Mr. Robinson, we apologize. How come you didn't have visa this long time? And that's why I cook, travel, and see my brother that I haven't seen for many years. He make me meet people like Pastor Mink. And since I've been talking to Pastor Mink, honestly, I feel that when I encounter a man of God. But this is it. God make it. Even though I feel alone in my loneliness, where I stay, you're not there just today. They say, Robinson, we feel that we are your mom and your dad. God do it. Well, now, when they call me for this choir of 300 people, the pastor tell me, Robinson, we don't have somebody else that can do this job. They recommend us you. And then I have people of different ages, young people in front of me. They listen to my music, to my worship. With me, God put me in a position of respect. Sometimes I feel like crying, but I smile for people. God say that you are my face in front of them, encourage them. God say that you represent me. Your pain will beat your character. Your pain will make you another person. My life has been changed. I learned to trust God. And the game is changing now. Trust me, the game is changing now. And my soul, and my emotion, even for my kids. Now they learn to pray. They learn to trust God. I tell them that I'm just a supervisor, but your true father is God. Connect with God. I can't be with you all the time. Sometimes I can't even provide for all what you need. You have to learn to rely on God. When they call me dad, the school are asking for money, I say, go and pray. God will provide. When they call God, dad, the food is almost over. What you gonna do? I say, go and pray. God will provide. And this is how God is changing the game. I thought that it was gonna be material. It was gonna be money, but it's more spiritual. I'm a solid guy now. Every year now, I go to a church that my family was leading, and many people come from Haiti, all over Haiti. And this church, they sit down and listen to what God can do. And I praise God for that. As I said to you, when I'm overwhelmed with stress, and I hope that you keep that for you guys, if I can face my stress, honestly, you can do. I trust God for you. You can do it. When I'm overwhelmed with stress and worry, that's when we need to replace our fear with faith. Please give your neighbor a handshake. Tell him that replace your fear with faith. Please do that. Can you do that, please? Replace your fear with faith. Replace your fear with faith. I'm sorry, I'm from a small country to ask you to do that. I can tell you, like me, I have many other Asians in the church who have been, they have learned to trust God. I learned now to focus on God, to value His presence more than money, to value His love more than other people, to value His grace more than what I can do for myself for my kids, for the people who are under my responsibility. The greatest thing that God did during when my wife passed is, funeral costs a lot in Haiti. You have to have money. And I remember this day, I only have $10 in my pocket, while I need over 6,000 US. And immediately God called out some people, friends I have in the state. They make a fundraise. I have the money to pay for the funeral because they won't give you the body until you pay. And I had people from all over Haiti. You have to receive them, to feed them, to host them, house them, and everything. God provides for that. God also provided for me to, you know, for my disclosure, to rent a new house, buy furniture for the kids, pay the school for the year. And I could tell you, at that time, God was a really game changer. He acted mightily in our life. And for now, I can say, and Jeremiah 29, 11, I know what I'm doing. This is what God tell me. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Thank you for paying attention. May God heal your heart. For you who were facing problems, my God could remove your mountains. My God could bring peace in your heart. My God could bring joy in your heart. My God will make a difference in your life. This is my prayer for you. May God bless you. May God bless you.
Imagine sending your loved one to the hospital and they die because they don't have oxygen. Can you imagine if that happened here? Oh my goodness. People would be up in arms. There would be lawsuits, there would be new laws passed. It's unthinkable, isn't it? I mean, we live in a country where literally if you need oxygen, you can strap a device on you and go walking around. It will make oxygen by pulling it out of the air. And a place really not too far south of our own country has oxygen. Oxygen. It's all around us. But they didn't have the technology or the resources to get it.